Richard.
Hey there. How are you?
Okay. Hello, how are you?
This is a great opportunity. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
First of all, you have such a great career, and I'm a big fan. But let me go right into the interview. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the biggest challenge to keeping up a vibrant sex life after 50? Is it sort of the physical challenges, or is it sort of the mental challenges of kind of getting older and not being what you used to be, sort of?
It's really an excellent question. It's really the combination. So I let Dr. Mary Jane Minkin talk about the physical, and I say about the psychological. The attitude used to be that over 50, who wants to talk about sex? Who wants to engage in sex? You are old. That's what we have to change, Richard. That's why we have to say people can continue to be sexually active until a very late stage in their lives if they know what to do, if they know not to engage in boring sex, and if the woman goes to see a gynecologist if she has physical discomfort.
And Richard, the problem that I tackle as a gynecologist is that unfortunately there are some things that can happen to us as we get older. For example, as we go through menopause, and the average age is 51, that as our estrogen levels go down, our vaginas can get dry, and that just happens to about 85% of us. That's the bad news. And of course, when you have a dry vagina, it leads to discomfort with intercourse. And then what happens then is if a woman's uncomfortable, she then sort of shies away from it because only a crazy person would want to have sex if it hurts. So sometimes she starts avoiding it. That's the bad news. The good news is there's stuff we can do to make it better. Lubricants will work, you know, KY and stuff like that. Helps some people. For many women, that's not enough. But the good news, the really good news, is that there are things that we can do about it. For example, vaginal estrogen works really well to restore vaginal moisture and comfort. You can get a little vaginal estrogen tablet, something like Vagifem. It's a prescription. Get it from your healthcare provider that you can pop in the vagina twice a week for maintenance of good moisture. It's safe. It gives you really no high blood levels of estrogen. It gives you no estrogen in your bloodstream. It's really totally safe. And it'll make for a comfortable sex life. And then when you're comfortable with sex, and, you know, when your partner's going out and getting his Viagra for his erectile dysfunction, which does work quite well, then you can have great sex. So, you know, I think there are the physical issues, but then, of course, you have the emotional stuff that goes with it, and you want to maintain a healthy relationship, and all of that's very important.
What should people do when they're younger to sort of be on the right pathway so when they hit... I'm 45, so I'm kind of on the road.
That's young.
Well, that's thank you.
That's a fabulous question.
What can they do so that the road is sort of paved for the optimal future situations?
Exactly what you are doing. You are talking to us. You are giving your listeners the possibility to think about it. And for you, when that 50 turns around, you are going to say, what was the big deal? Why did I ever worry about not having sex at 50? You have to have a good partner. You have to be in a good relationship. And then you have to make sure that you know that you should not get engaged in sex when you're tired. That maybe you need a little bit more caressing after the age of 50. But your question is the superb one, how to prepare for that.
And women should be taking good care of themselves, as should guys as well. You know, and again, keep a healthy outlook. And other thing that they can do as they're, you know, in their 30s and 40s is to establish a good relationship with their health care provider, gynecologist, nurse practitioner, whatever, because there are some of these issues that will come up, things like vaginal dryness. And I would really encourage women not to be embarrassed to talk to these things, you know, with their health care provider. So you want a really good relationship that way, not only with your partner, but also with your doc.
And then for you, Richard.
Yes.
To write down some questions, and when that partner of yours goes to the gynecologist, say, ask those questions for me.
Okay. Is it important for the partners to go together to each other's respective doctor?
Yeah, you know what, Richard? It would be ideal. It's not feasible because these doctors are overworked. They don't have the time for it. If it were possible, I would say absolutely bravo. In my office, I see mostly couples. In a medical doctor's office, if it's not practical, let her bring the question with her for the gynecologist.
Yeah, bringing questions, writing things down is really terrific. And then, you know, it really gives you a lot of grounds to talk to your patients, and that's
and
really important.
And sometimes you might talk to him on the phone.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I talk to my patients' partners all the time. Of course I do.
Do you find that as society has sort of progressed a little bit and we've opened up, pardon me, that people actually are more willing to communicate, that it's more okay to ask these kinds of questions
and
now?
No question, Richard, that you media people are playing an important role. For you to be able to say, how do I prepare for that after 50? Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about new findings. That's what we have to do together. And bravo to you.
Well, thank you. What is the greatest misconception that people have sort of about having sex at an older age, other than, well, you know, I'm just old and things just don't work like they used to? What are the things that people need to overcome mentally?
Mentally, it's the attitude towards sex. Because we have all grown up, like you said, with an attitude that's for young people. When people are older, forget about it. And that attitude, go out dancing, go out kayaking, do something, and that will have an effect on your libido. It will have an effect on your desire to be sexually active.
And the other thing, of course, remember, Richard, is that we're all, thank goodness, living a lot longer, which is wonderful, you know, that we now have things to talk about like post-menopause. You know, 100 years ago, people went through menopause and died, you know, so that wasn't so good. But now we're living, you know, 30 and 40 years, and there's no reason those can't be healthy, fulfilling, sexually active, good years. I mean, yeah, so you'll have a little bit of dryness in the vagina, so you use a little Vagifem when you're 90. That's no big deal. It's perfectly safe. There's no reason not to. And there's no reason you can't keep having a good, healthy sex life, you know, basically forever.
And you have to prepare your partner that at a certain age, you need more caressing on those genitalia. You don't have a psychogenic erection. You have to need to be touched in order to obtain and maintain the erection.
More warm up. Let me ask you this.
Important for men and women.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. As people get older, unfortunately, they lose partners either through attrition or through, I guess, just people growing apart and changing, you know, divorce and things like that. What challenges do you have as an older person when you're going back on the dating scene and maybe you're 70, 75, 80, or what kind of challenges and pressure does that create?
A lot of them. And you have to talk to yourself. Anybody who's a widow or widower has to say, I'm in that situation, or divorced, or separated. I'm in this situation, but I don't want to be alone, so I'm going to go out and do something to see if I can find a partner. And if that first partner rejects you, you say, who cares? He doesn't know what he's missing. Go to the next one. Now, I'm not saying become desperate. But I'm saying you have to have that outlook on life. Who knows what might be happen to me today?
And one thing that I would just like to encourage your listeners, Richard, to understand is that let's say somebody, you know, lost her husband when she was 50, going through menopause, hasn't been sexually active for 20 years, and then she goes on vacation in Florida and meets this really great guy. And now she's like, oh, I really want to get sexually active, but this is going to kill me because my vagina is really uncomfortable. It's really dry. She should definitely go talk to her health care provider, see her gynecologist, because the good news is the dryness in the vagina basically is almost 100% reversible. That if she starts using a little Vagifem, even at age 70, after not having sex for 20 years, you can have her back to a normal, happy vagina in less than a month, and it's really remarkable. And my patients just love it.
That sounds
like a magician.
No, I'm not a magician. I have very easy things to use that work quite well. But they think I'm a magician, and that's okay.
Well, you know, one of the tough problems that children have is as their parents get older and go through these kinds of evolutionary changes. Do you have any advice for the children of older parents?
Yes.
What is that? Especially because the older generation tends to be, you know, I see it, they're more tight-lipped. They're more.
I have to tell you, children, stay out of your parents' sex life. It's none of your business.
Okay,
and
so
parents, at a certain stage in life, after they go to college, after they're grown up, stay out of their sex lives. This kind of intrusion and questions, and do you have orgasms or don't you have orgasms, should should be known, but not between parents and children. I'm very old-fashioned and a square. I don't want to anybody to call home and say, Dad, did you get it up last night? Or Mom, do you have orgasms? There has to be that very fine line of respect.
Privacy.
Boundaries.
Privacy.
So this is much like the good fences make good neighbors.
I like that.
So let's talk about the book for a second.
Yeah.
The name of the book is?
My book is Dr. Ruth, Sex After 50. The most important sentence in there is, kick boredom out of your bedroom.
And my book is A Woman's Guide to Menopause and Perimenopause.
And where could we get these books?
Amazon.
Get them at your favorite bookstore. Amazon.com is a great place to go.
I happen to love the fact that you call what you're doing the Save Sex Seminars. Who came up with that?
Well, I think that a company we've worked with has come up with the name, but that's another good source of information for your listeners.
That's
SaveSex.org, S-A-V. I mean, Save Sex, S-A-F-E is important too, but this is Save Sex, S-A-V-E-S-E-X.org. Lots of good references and information for women about postmenopausal sexuality. I encourage them all to go to the site.
Speaking of safe sex for just a minute, do older folks need to worry as much as maybe younger folks about those issues?
Absolutely yes. I'm not saying as much. I don't want them to worry day and night. Any new partner has to be tested for herpes or for any sexually transmitted disease.
Absolutely. And again, your gynecologist can take care of that for you.
Wait, a new partner or one who was cheated on?
Yep.
Now, how often should older people see, like, their gynecologist for, I guess, routine checkups?
Great question again, Richard. Once a year is a good idea.
Okay.
You are a very good interviewer. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to have you on our show. Thank you again.
Thank you so
much.
Bye. Bye-bye.